Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Action fanatics, welcome to episode 100 of the Bulletproof Podcast. I'm your host, Chris the Brain. Joining me for this milestone edition of the podcast, who else could it be but the man who got me involved in this mess, the man who's been with me on more of these podcasts than anybody else. He is back, everybody, Chad Cruz.
Thank you so much, Mr. Brain, for what a wonderful introduction. And I know that I mean a lot to you, and by you inviting me on this episode, I know it really makes you feel pretty good about yourself.
I mean, it's a very special time for Bulletproof Action and the Bulletproof Podcast. Episode 100, we are about to celebrate 9 years of BulletproofAction.com, which
Holy shit, insanity
to think how time has flown by.
It has. It really has. And it's funny because when you do something like this for this long, you forget about the early years and how awful and miserable they were. And, you know, it makes everything a little bit better. When you look back at, you know, when we started this website, when we started BulletproofAction.com, we were posting twice a day.
Yeah, we were pumping out content. We were trying to be Menachem Golan and Yoram Globus, just content.
Right, and you know what? Some might say that our quality was actually worse than some of his quality stuff.
I definitely feel that it took a bit to get warmed up and get in my groove. I know, just personally speaking, and
yeah,
you know,
I'm still searching for my groove, by the way.
Well, one day you'll find it. And we are going to be joined momentarily by a friend of the site, somebody who's been with us for quite a long time as a fan of the site and has, you know, contributed here and there when he can. Mr. Paul London will be with us. And who better to talk over the top with a man who is pretty much over the top almost all the time.
All the time, yeah. Not almost. He is over the top. That's all the true. Time. And it's great because it's a perfect movie for him, I think. Not just because he kind of lives that lifestyle of being a wild man, yeah. But he absolutely adores this film.
He does. And he saw one of the people in it naked. So, you know, that's always helpful.
At least one.
At least one. That's true. Yeah. That's true.
At least one of them naked.
But you know, while we're talking about friends of the site, I do want to mention our friend Michael Worth, and I don't know if you saw the news, but he's got a little crowdfunding thing going on Indiegogo for a movie that is looking to be a modern day version of an old school Hong Kong movie and bringing some kung fu legends to the table, potentially. Dragon Lee, Bruce Lai, Bruce Lee, Angela Mao. I mean, this is potentially something that I think a lot of our listeners and definitely people who check out our website would be interested in, Chad.
Yeah, it seems like a real who's who of kind of the legends of that era and the people that, you know, guys like us talk about still to this day, you know, in reverence and awe. Like, man, these films were so incredible and so ahead of their time and so much, you know, to be fair, so much better than what was being pumped out in Hollywood and other places. So, it's pretty cool to see it come together and come out of that kind of vision stage and that dream stage and hopefully move into reality.
Absolutely. And so if you want to check that out, it's Indiegogo. House of Fangs is the working title for the movie right now. You can also check out BulletproofAction.com as I did share that information on our site. And again, we are heading towards our 9th anniversary on bulletproofaction.com. And we got a big new image countdown coming up on the actual date of our anniversary, which was August 29th. And I'm looking forward to that. Some interesting titles are going to be on that countdown, Chad. Some that I've never seen that I'm kind of interested in checking out. That's why I love doing these lists, because we get, you know, guest input. It's not just us. We got guests, and they always come up with some interesting suggestions.
Right. And that's why you kind of surround yourself with people who are typically smarter than we are, or more informed, so we can learn from them. At the same time, you know, we can kind of decipher some of this information and give it to the fans of bulletprofaction.com, but we can also learn from our buddies too. So that's why we bring on so many people, and we love having guys like Paul London and the Toy Man and these guys who you know, they may have only been on the site or on the podcast for the last few years, but they've been fans of the genre longer than we have.
Exactly. So definitely want to check that out. I want to check out bulletprofaction.com as often as possible, people.
Dozens of times a day.
You know, I did a piece that you inspired, Chad, that the What If There Was an A-Team movie in 1996, and that got quite a bit of traffic. And so if you missed out on that, go check that out. People seem to like that.
Those are, you know what those remind me of, Brain?
What's that?
I remember back in probably the late 90s, and you would go on these like wrestling forums and such, and you would say, what if they had WCW versus WWF? And you would put these matchups together, and you would fantasy book all these things. You know, and as kids, you know, I know you did, I did it as well. We fantasy booked with action figures and anything we could fight with, but to do it with living wrestlers, it felt so cool. And that's kind of what we're doing with these movies. What if we could fantasy book our own film or our own series in whatever year we determined we wanted to use? And it's just really fun. And it's great to see that people actually enjoy reading about it. So,
yeah, definitely was one of those. I enjoyed doing it. And then obviously when it's always better when people actually read the stuff.
Right.
I mean, there's plenty of posts that I'm like, you know, that was pretty good. And then 12 people read it. And it's like, well,
right.
Eventually it might find an audience.
My happy birthday Dolph Lundgren post is,
of course,
it just doesn't get enough eyes on it, I find.
Yeah. Matt Spector loves that one. I think he just loves the fine artwork.
The Photoshop. Yeah.
Well, I don't think you should use the term Photoshop.
Yes.
For what you did, more like paint.
It's a legendary post. It really is. I think when we look back after episode 500.
We're going to do 400 more of these?
And 30 years of doing this website and writing this trash. We'll look back at that post as probably the best one we've ever put together.
I know you believe it was your best. And if you all want to check that out, you know, just use the search feature on bulletprofession. Yep. .com and you can find that. Chad loves that post. I try to forget about it as often as I can, but you know, that's the way it goes. All right, what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a quick break, and when we return, it is going to be me, you, and Paul London talking Over the Top. We are back here on episode 100 of the Bulletproof Podcast. Chris the Brain, Chad Cruz, and now, as promised, joining us, it is the one and only Paul London. PL, welcome back to the show. Oh, boy.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Well, we needed something special for episode 100, and you're the most special person I know.
Well, thanks. That's so kind.
It sounds like he's climbing out of his semi-truck right now.
I am.
Out or up into it, I don't know which.
I'm just doing some pull-ups on the outside of it, actually.
Oh, hell yeah. We should have recorded this episode, the three of us, inside a semi-truck trailer.
Yeah.
That would have been pretty good. Sticky situation if you picked the wrong one.
But yeah. So, you don't want to be like a accidental lot lizard.
Yeah, well, we were trying to line up an interview with Sally Two Shoes. She's one of the most notorious law lizards in all of the Western Nevada hemisphere. So she was unavailable. I think she's actually dead now. But yeah, law lizards, give it up for them. I'm gonna pour one out for her right now.
And this is why this is an audio only podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, we are talking Over the Top. It is a canon classic that was released on February 13th, 1987, and it doesn't get any more canon than this because it was directed by the one and only Menachem Golan, a personal hero. We get the opening credits. We get In This Country by Robin Zander, and we may as well just talk about it right at the top. This movie has an epic soundtrack. P.L. This movie has so many great songs.
So many great songs that you want to meet them all halfway. They're really fantastic. You know, the winner takes them all. Loser takes the fall. Now, it's funny because as epic as the soundtrack and the music is, that really adds to the visuals and the storytelling and the acting. I feel like everything in this film is on equal par with the other elements that make this such a timeless classic. You know, I feel like, you know, the music may not have won any awards, but it was great. The acting may not have won any awards, but it was great for this story. The delivery, the direction. I mean, this is easily Menachem's best film, after The Apple. And I think, it's just a real timepiece for classic cinema, classic Stallone. But when you said that it came out on February 13th, it made me wonder how many people, guys in particular, you know, might have tricked or duped their girlfriends into going to see this as like a Valentine's movie. Because that's a very odd release date. Like, you would hope that this would have been like a summer blockbuster. I'm sure it would have competed with... I'm trying to think of what else came out. Was this 84?
87, sir.
87,
We're talking Predator. We're talking RoboCop.
It really is a strange time to release a movie that has zero love interests in it.
Zero. The one female in the movie dies.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's pretty grim.
It's kind of your anti-Valentine's Day film. Like, you go see this when you're single and, you know, you love to fucking rock out and you know, you love turning your hat around backwards.
Yeah, I mean, I could see how it might have appealed to, like, chicken hawks or something that maybe wanted to go to the theater by themselves. But, I mean, I love it. I think it's great, and I'm excited to be here talking about it with you guys.
You got to remember, a year earlier, on Valentine's Day itself, the Delta Force came out. So Canon, really? Yeah, Canon was appealing to single men. Who may have been very depressed on Valentine's Day weekend and said, you know what, we're here for you guys. Or again, if you could convince your significant other, your girlfriend, to go to one of these movies with you, you knew she was the one.
Yeah. I mean, how many girlfriends do you think twisted their guy's arms into being like, we're going to see Over the Top. I am not going to see... whatever, Steel Magnolias. I'm not going to see any of that.
I'm a little sad, PL, because I mentioned songs. You didn't want to take that easy one. Chad Cruz. We start off, we see some military school graduation footage.
Yes.
We get Lincoln Hawk, played by, of course, Sylvester Stallone, getting ready. He's on his way. He's cleaning his truck, getting himself ready. And then we see his son, Mike Cutler, played by David Mendenhall. And he's realizing nobody from his family is at the ceremony, which it's got to be a little sad for the kid.
It's kind of a bummer, especially when, you know, his grandfather, I'm assuming, paid for his way into this military, this prestigious military academy. And, so obviously pulling some strings for him, and then he's not there. And, you know, we later learn that little Mike's mother is sick. But Brain, the more concerning thing to me here isn't that his family didn't show up for the ceremony. It's that Mike Cutler, when he eventually does take his father's last name of Hawk, his name will be Mike Hawk.
Yeah. That reminds me of an Indiegogo you wanted to start.
It is. I know. I felt like it was not the right place to bring this up earlier. We talked about Michael Wirth and his wonderful campaign that he's got going on now with House of Fang.
House of Fangs. We need PL to get involved in that movie.
And I think that it would be the perfect project for him. But for my project, PL, the offer's extended to you for my project as well. But I wanted to really promote this idea of my campaign that's about to be released soon. And I'll keep you updated, Brain. But it's still sort of similar based on some of the same ideals and some of the same concepts. But it's called House of Wangs. And if you want more information, I'd say just run a Google search on House of Wangs.
Don't do it, people.
I think you'll all be pleasantly surprised.
I think PL may have. I think PL may have left. Are you still there, PL?
I don't blame him.
I think he had enough of you. He's gone. We're moving on.
We lost him.
We've lost him. He'll be back, possibly, maybe. So Lincoln.
Where is my?
There he is.
Perfect.
What happened? I don't know what happened. I don't know. I was lost in the Hall of Dongs.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
it's like you got punished for not taking the easy home run that I teed up for you when I said songs.
I was punishing my songs.
Thank you.
I was punishing myself.
Thank you. I was waiting for Gwildor. Where are you at?
Dongs?
There'll be self-punishment on House of Wangs, too, by the way.
They'll be like, Wangs? You didn't tell me you were a dong maker.
Thank you.
I
was waiting for the Gwildor. I was
dong?
We got him. We got, okay. You can put Gwildor away now.
No! I'm a keymaker. I'll never put Gwildor away. I feel like Billy Barty should have had a role in this film.
Should have been in every canon film.
He could have hosted the competition at the end.
Did you know that Charles wanted Billy Barty to be the troll, but it was John Carl Beekler who pitched for Phil Fondacaro, and then they ended up making the troll suit specific to Phil Fondacaro so that there would be no question about it, and they had to give him the role. But originally they wanted Billy Barty. At least Charles Band wanted Billy Barty.
I don't blame him.
Billy Barty, I just saw him the other day. I was watching Willow with my son.
Yeah.
That was so awesome.
He throws the bones down, and he like tries to act like he knows what he's talking about.
Just follow the river.
Yeah. He's great.
I saw him the other day, too, on Celebrity Bowling.
Yeah, you sent me that clip. That was great. He was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's his handicap?
He's short.
But like he throws the ball and it goes really slow, but like it's on point for the most part. Like he's good. Yeah, he's really consistent.
Bowling is really one of those sports where if you're handicapped or if you're in a situation similar to his, you can still be damn good at it.
Yeah, you could be 500 pounds. Yeah. You could be a little person. You could be a kid. Yeah. It's an even playing field.
It is.
For a lot of people. I'm surprised there was no bowling in this movie in Over the Top, because it seems like the perfect environment for some arm wrestling. At the bowling alley. You know,
bowling alley bar. Yeah,
I feel like the '80s bowlers were like these fat bastards. And Stallone's a peak physical condition here. I mean, he's a beast.
But can the same be said for the other people? I mean, yeah, but you're right. I guess the most, if you can call him out of shape in this whole movie, would be Bull Hurley. But even he, like, you don't want to mess with him. He's like a monster truck tire.
He's thick.
Yeah, he's great. So I'll just point out that this military school that soon to be Mike Cock, is leaving and graduating from, which I think is a real moment of self-exploration too. Yes. It just shows how immature Mike, soon to be Mike Hawk, is, that he's not taking this as a moment of self-introspection of like, I have all these people in my life. How come not a single one of them is here?
Yeah.
What does that say about me? Right. But no, it's always someone else's fault. But I think they shot that, I want to say in Pomona. That might've been in Pomona. That military camp.
It's also a bit strange because Sly spends so much time getting ready that he's actually late.
Yeah, he spends way more time. Had he just thrown on some
some, you know,
dungarees.
Splash some brood on his face.
Some brood. Thank you. Oh, yeah. Just put the suspenders up. He would have been good to go. Put the hat forward. He would have been good to go.
Yeah, I mean, he took all that time. He shows up. He goes up to the school, and people look at him like they've never seen another human being in their life.
No, of course not.
It's about, maybe it's because he was he's so handsome. I think that's why.
It might have been the brute.
Peak physical condition. They've never seen a man in peak physical condition.
That must.
That's right. That's right. Driving a truck. The only people transport and haul things in those things. They don't drive them for leisure.
And he actually bathed himself using truck wash. So he probably had some weird, like,
oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Gotta wash off the lizard slime.
Mike's grandfather did send a limo to come pick him up. Grandfather couldn't be there, but at least the limo's there. But just Mike gets in, he gets word that the colonel needs to see him. And when he gets to the colonel's office, there is his dad, Lincoln.
This would have been a great role for Billy Barty as the colonel. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. That would have been awesome. He's like overpowering this table. He's like, someone here to see you, Mike. And then he walks in, and then Billy Barty like disappears out of frame as he hops down and like kind of waddles around the table. Say hello to your father.
Now he's Yoda.
It was a mixture.
I mean, Gwidor is kind of Yoda-ish.
Yeah, true.
He's like
dad.
Victory.
He's Yoda. Yeah, with better hair.
You didn't tell me you had a dad. Yeah, he introduces him. He shows the. May we see ID of this man, please, sir? Like you hate this kid right off the bat. Like you can't, you don't like this kid. You can see why nobody showed up.
I will say, you know, in today's world, that actually seems like a legitimate thing. You should.
That makes sense.
For.
Yeah.
But back then, he's like, "No, are you? No, we're just gonna let this man who showed up and said you belong to him take you. Right. We're not gonna do it." But yeah.
What a nerd!
Right. Yeah, total nerd. Especially later at the diner when he orders the milk and the peanut butter or whatever, the crust cut off. You think little
tuna. It was tuna.
Fucking twerp. Dweeb.
Lincoln does have some wedding photos, so it's proof that he is the one who banged his mom.
Maybe they were saying something about the officers, the people in officer training, you know, for the military.
Maybe.
You know, maybe. Vietnam, Lincoln, all those officers died.
That's true.
It's got to be it.
Lincoln Hawk. He's like, I took these off my LinkedIn, but this is us married before I got rid of this little brat.
Yeah.
It sucks. So now we're riding. He's like, you expect me to go in that?
Oh, yeah. Mike is like, at this point, the least likable character in the entire movie. Maybe in the entire canon universe.
Yeah. I mean, when you get out-acted by a midget in a monkey suit, and what was that other
bananas.
Movie? Yeah, going bananas. Yeah, come on.
And that wasn't Billy Barty either.
No.
But there was probably a little bit more physicality than Billy was able to do at that point in his life.
We need to do a Going Bananas retrospective.
All right. Anytime you'd like to.
We'll get you back on for it.
Anytime.
Love it.
Bananas.
Father. Hawk. You didn't tell me you were on my cock. Yours or mine?
Yeah, we're driving. We're on the road. This is where you mentioned, Chad. We find out the mom is sick. She's about to have open heart surgery. And it was her idea that Mike and Lincoln spend some time together. And what better way to do that than on the open road as they from wherever the hell this military school is to California. It may all be in California. California's a very big state, PL, as you well know.
Yeah, I want to say that the military school is further inland. That hospital is definitely north of LA, Olive View, because I've been there. I've had stitches and staples taken out of Olive View. I've had my finger injected with some sort of weird serum that took the swelling. I mean, I've been to Olive View quite a bit, so this is this is a very touching film for me.
It's very personal for you.
Yeah. I could really see
it. Really is. It really is. That's a real hospital. I've been there many times in the middle of the night.
You have a hat like Lincoln Hawk?
I have a hat. I've got the suspenders. Got the dirty shirt. The brute. It's just, yeah. Well, we'll get to it later. We, you know, hope, maybe I won't be here for that. But the mom, the whole mom subplot is heartbreaking.
It is.
I can imagine the mom asking Lincoln to drive there and pick him up, and him being very concerned about how much fuel costed. So he's like,
see that.
He's still doing jobs like on the way there and on the way back. He's like taking his son to see his dying mom, and he's like still dropping off loads. Not the lot lizards, but trucking loads.
Of course. I'm surprised we don't really see him working in this movie, do we? I mean, the work of the arm wrestler.
Transporting the brute at one point.
Yeah, he's got the trailer on the back, and then it's gone. So you have to assume he either used it all or he got rid of it.
Yeah, he's selling it hot off the back. That's right.
So Mike's like, you know, she's trying to make some talk. You can have a conversation. You're in the car or the truck with the guy, the kid. Let's talk. Let's get to know one another. No need to make conversation. And you just realize, like, this would be the ride from hell. I remember at my former job, at one point, it was like, oh, we might go on a car ride to Chicago, and it would be me and my boss in the car. And I was like, I will die if this happens. Luckily, it never happened. But I was like, it would be similar to this. Like, I'd probably be the one being like, no need to make conversation with me, sir. I'll just sit here and play on my phone. Mike does notice all the pictures and, like, kind of like, how'd you get these? Well, your mother sent them to me. Well, if she was sending you stuff, why weren't you sending me anything? And we get a odd, like, this is never really explained why these letters and birthday cards were never given to Mike. There's a lot of mystery to this movie.
I just assume Grandpa withheld them, right?
Yeah, but he found them in the mom's room. You would think Grandpa would have just destroyed them.
Yeah,
that's true. I watched this with my 9-year-old, and he asked the same question. To be honest, he was like, "Why didn't the kid see those? They're in the drawer."
Is Grandpa in cahoots with Sesame Street?
Yeah, this is why some would say, I know our friend of the show, Oliver Kane, believes the mother is the biggest villain in this movie.
Mom?
Exactly.
Well, she dies, so.
Yeah, she dies.
She is quite the manipulator.
So at this point, Mike does the old pull over, I'm feeling sick routine, which we talked about in our Captain America podcast, Chad.
Works every time.
You know, then proceeds to run into traffic, which, you know, maybe he really wasn't sick, but he was almost dead and nearly caused other people to potentially die because they're slamming on their brakes and
selfish little bastard.
Exactly. And Mike's jacket gets torn in the process, which, of course, he just, well, don't worry, we'll bill you for it. Because Mike's a little jerk.
He's a dick.
He definitely is. And now, where does he get his dickishness from? Maybe this man, Jason Cutler, his grandfather, played by the one and only Robert Loggia, who is obviously not happy that the colonel let Lincoln Hawk, the worthless bastard that he is, take his grandson. But my point here is, why wasn't he just if he was at the graduation, this movie doesn't happen.
No. So who else is to blame here? The mom?
The father,
grandfather, yeah. I feel like he's he's a very wealthy man. He's very busy, and he's always prioritized his own his own business over his family.
And well, that's his biggest mistake, because you don't buy love, man.
God
you
damn don't it!
Buy him. You let the love shine through. I mean, you think you can buy your grandson's love? You think you can buy your wife's life? There ain't no price on that.
No, there really isn't. Over the top, folks, just like I said. Lincoln and Mike do stop for lunch. Mike tells him he's going to that his father will die of cholesterol poisoning, which I've never heard it really worded in that fashion before.
It's true.
Does not like the idea of fried chicken for lunch. Instead, he gets tuna on wheat.
The crust cut off with on wheat, ma'am, and a glass of milk, because I'm a little pussy.
Well, while they're at this truck stop, which Mike also referred to as a zoo, and he might be onto something, because we get a very rough character named Smasher.
Mm-hmm. I thought this was Blaster.
No, that's the big, that's Bull Hurley, I think, is also known as Blaster.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Smasher is...
He has the t-shirt that says Blaster, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Smasher, played by Magic Schwartz, who may also be in your House of Wangs movie, I don't know.
Yeah.
He was the racquetball fighter in Lionheart. He played poker in Stone Cold, and he was Mad Dog Joe DiCurso in Grunt the Wrestling Movie.
Hawk, I'm Smasher. Now I don't believe anything. You don't believe anything. That's good. I heard you're the best. Don't hear everything you believe. Smasher's creepy.
Yeah.
Right? He's like a mixture of Dave Schultz.
And, I was going to say Dr. D.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Sid.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's no joke.
Could you imagine
maybe a little Hustler Rip Rogers too?
Going on a road trip with Smasher to cross country. I'm sure you've ridden with some interesting characters in your days.
Oh yeah. Yeah, these are the kind of guys that go home on their days off and they ride their motocross bikes in their hillbilly mountains and videotape themselves shooting fireworks out of their asses.
Here we go.
And
really
some hillbilly characters. And so what is young Mike, soon to be Mike Kark, to think that his father is this swindler who gets approached by motocross hillbillies in bars named Smasher, challenging him to an arm wrestling contest? What is this arm wrestling? This is Neanderthal stuff, right? And then in one of the weirder moments, we see a strange, bulky, bald, bear-looking type character come up and grace his big mitts over the young, fresh, innocent hands of
Mike Hawk
and be like, "What are you doing with that guy?" And then he like, "That's my father," or something. Or what does he say? He's like, "It's too bad." Or what? I can't remember what he said.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Like, but that, "What are you doing with that guy?" That opening line is, I just love it. I think it's a work of art.
That's our introduction to Bull Hurley. And Lincoln does the old flipping of the switch and then does the old over-the-top move, and he beats Smasher.
Yeah. But
Bull is not impressed by this and says, "Hey, let's..." He says, "Lincoln, let's do this." But Lincoln says, "No, let's wait for Vegas." But Bull's like, "You don't have a prayer in Vegas, you yellow bastard." And then Mike calls his father, accuses him of being a hustler.
And which now, he kind of is.
He is. He most definitely. But hey.
It's the 80s.
It's the 80s. And again, he's not able to take as many trucking jobs with his kids. Yeah. So he needs to make some money.
Yeah, you got to pay for them tuna sandwiches somehow.
Right. They ain't free.
Talk about dead weight. Jesus Christ.
So now they're going to call Christina. Christina Hawk, Mike's mom. Lincoln's estranged wife. Now they're back on the road, and Mike is doing what you never do to the driver, is you don't mess with the radio. That's like a rule.
Ah.
The driver picks the radio station. Right?
Until he relinquishes it.
Right, unless he says... Right, exactly. Thank you. That's the rule. that gets a thing. And then out of the blue, Mike just says, are you still dealing drugs?
Straight up calls him out on it.
Yeah. Like, you would have thought that may have been an earlier question when he didn't want to make conversation if he's so interested. But apparently that's just one of these fun facts that Mike got from his grandfather. And Lincoln said he never did deal drugs. And the only mistake he's ever made was leaving his family, which we never really get the reasoning behind, other than the father-in-law was a pain in the ass. But
yeah,
I hated arm wrestling.
Apparently so.
There's a few pieces of this movie that, you know, are missing, like that piece. Mm-hmm. And it's just really never brought up. Like, it feels like the movie is unfinished. Like, there's an extra 17 minutes somewhere that goes into a little bit more about why he left. And I don't know. It's just kind of
who wrote this gem?
Oh,
it's not Furstenberg, is it?
No.
It's Gary Conway, David Inkelbach.
David Inkelbach. Yeah.
Sterling Siliphant.
Okay. Yeah, David Inkelbach, I know, is on the documentary and said, like, you know, they ruined his script, which, of course, he also said in Death Wish 2. He's one of, you know, it's one of those, everybody ruins everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is funny to say this is a ruined project when it's, like, so beloved by so many people.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Fuck you, is what I say.
It probably would have been even more beloved, but...
Yes.
So yeah, we find that was a lie. Meanwhile, Jason Cutler is visiting his daughter in the hospital. And he again now expresses his disappointment that she wants Mike to know his father. He's not Mike's father. You know, I've been his father for the last 12 years. And again, I say, then why the hell weren't you at the graduation? You rich son of a bitch.
Bastard.
Mm.
But now we get introduced to a great character. Jason's muscle, an old friend of yours, PL. He plays Rooker, played by the one and only Terry.
Oh, Funk. Yeah. Sucking on eggs. Those dirty dogs, they don't know what's coming their way. Rooker is the junkyard dog to Mr. Cutler. And he might have his curly soul glow fro going with his suit. But make no mistake about it, this man is a killer.
Do you think that's the same suit he wore when he was like the judge for that Ricky Steamboat Ric Flair match? Or he had a tuxedo. I think.
That's his suit from his wedding right there.
Oh, all right.
It might be. Yeah. It might be.
So, yeah, we get the Funker, which is always good to see.
Was this before or after...
Roadhouse,
Full House, Roadhouse.
Ooh, crossover! I need it.
Yeah,
it was. This would have been before Roadhouse, I believe, was 89.
Okay, that's okay. Full Roadhouse, nice.
Now Lincoln and Mike on the road. They're gonna call it a night. Mike's like, "Well, I don't see a hotel around. That's because you're sleeping in the truck, you little jackass."
What did you learn in military school, you little pansy?
Exactly. Think in the military.
You're gonna go to
the
battlefield, and have like.
Okay, we're calling it a day. Yeah. Let's go back to the hotel.
Yeah. Pull out your sweets. Dumb shit.
We get Kenny Loggins, Meet Me Halfway. And, you know, obviously, this is the songs on this amazing soundtrack.
Songs of songs?
Thank you very much. Obviously, Menachem Golan had big plans for all his movies. But when you have a movie starring Sylvester Stallone with an original song written by Kenny Loggins, who at this point had done Caddyshack, had done Footloose,
I was about to say, yeah.
And
Footloose.
Danger Zone. I mean, and now he tops it all off with Meet Me Halfway.
Yeah. You sounded like Casey Kasem there for a second.
Thank you.
Coming in at this week's top 40 is
number one
Kenny Loggins.
It's number one with a bullet.
Meet Me Halfway.
Interesting, Chad. This podcast was actually going to be our episode 50,
Yeah.
Because we were going to be halfway to 100, but then I found out the world meets no one halfway, so we just saved it for 100.
Boom. That's so brilliant of you.
Actually, I just made that up.
I actually wish that 50 would have been halfway, because that would mean this would be the last one. So I think the listeners would agree. Listeners would agree that if this were the bookend to our podcasting career, it would be.
It might be. I don't know if we're going to be able to
perfect top way it. To end it.
But yeah, we get the meet me halfway. We get the morning workout, and it's all brought to you by Brute. Brute. It smells like a man.
And let me just add, I think the placement of meet me halfway is genius because.
You think it's halfway through the movie?
No, hold your horses.
Okay.
Whoa.
What I think is, the thing is, like, we're starting to... We immediately get all this resistance from Mike. He's a little prick. You know, and... Just by him asking questions and not going completely silent, because that would have sucked for a movie also, you know, you're starting to see him. You're starting to see Lincoln kind of get into the cracks a little bit. Who is this Mike Cutler? And vice versa. And so I think the placement of the song is, in a way, a hope spot that pays off because, you know, you're. It's the metaphor behind it, right? And that they hope that they can soon see eye to eye and that they're each other's not as bad as they give off the perception. And that, in truth, as we will see in 65 minutes or whatever later, they're all right. They met halfway and they're all right.
And you know what, Brain? I don't know if you knew this, but I used to, among the many things I've done in my day, I used to tutor kids. I used to tutor special needs kids. Anytime I had a kid graduate, I always made sure in the graduation card that I delivered, hand delivered by God, to write, you know, the world meets nobody halfway. You know, if you want something, you have to go out and get it. And that was my line.
That you stole.
That I stole. I'm assuming all of them did well in life.
Did you put KL? KL? The initials KL at the bottom?
I put M. Mike Hawk at the bottom of it.
Oh, yeah. Life only meets you halfway when you're talking.
Did we lose PL?
I think we lost him again. Hopefully he comes back with that, finishing that sentence.
Yeah. I'm back.
Here. Yes.
So when my screen goes blank, that's it cuts me off audibly. But I was simply pointing out that life only meets you halfway when you're talking about my cock.
Thank you. Glad we waited for you to come back. He's got a little workout gimmick in the truck, so he could work out while driving. Got to keep
one
that...
one arm.
But... One arm.
Yeah.
No, he does left arm at one point, I think.
He does the other arm doing something else when Mike's not around. Usually,
atrophy wasn't really a big deal back then. Okay, we had Weider products.
It's true.
Yeah, bodybuilding.
Well, tell that to Mr. Wonderful. Anyway, Mike has to interject that there is more to life than just muscles, and then goes into a dissertation about social scales and theorizes that the mental age for a trucker is probably between 11 and 13.
What an asshole.
He is. Yeah, he's horrible.
Tell Smasher that, is what I would say.
Yeah, and so
tell any of them that.
Say it to their face.
Yeah, oil drum guy who drinks it and eats it. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Say it to Billy Barty and see what he tells you.
Oh.
Blaster Berries? Billy Barty.
Yeah.
Why don't you?
I like that.
Yeah, so... Lincoln's had enough of this shit, and he's like, okay, smart guy, why don't you drive since it's so easy that, you know, a dummy could do it. The monkey from Going Bananas could do it. Why don't you do
it?
And then Mike has to bring up his dune buggy experience because that doesn't matter. And, you know, gets behind the wheel, and it's a bit of a herky-jerky experience to start, but Dad provided the guidance. And Mike starts to drive on his own, and for the first time in this movie, he actually seems happy.
Yay!
So, like you said, PL, they're getting there. It's a, he's getting in the cracks there.
He got my cock in his cracks.
He did.
Thank you. Jason Cutler, meanwhile, plotting with his personal secretary named Tim.
Ah.
Tim, get it. Go call the lawyer. Lincoln and Mike once again stop for a meal. And this is where I know this is a favorite. This is a favorite scene coming up. So
this is
just
this is pivotal.
It's yours, PL. Take us through it.
In this pivotal scene, as they're leaving their dining experience, young Mike and Elder Lincoln pass along a couple of young toughs at the pinball machines. And we see a lightning bolt, or actually more of a light bulb, a dim light bulb, but a light bulb, go off over Lincoln's head.
Due to his mental age.
That's right. He might have another life as a boxer. But he thinks, hey, Mike, come here for a second. And coaxes his young, soon-to-be Mike Hawk into coming back into the arcade area of this ratty little diner. Looks like it's in the middle of white trash America. And decides to play bookie and pimp. For young Mike Hawk, soon to be, and goes up to this, you know, early incarnation of Bobby Budnick and his stupid friends, and lays down the challenge without even consulting his client. Mike lays out the challenge: "Hey, 2-1, my son could beat yours in an arm wrestling match," or whatever he says to him, in which the prequel, Bobby Budnick, leans forward and he goes, "Kid, if I can't beat you, I'll kill myself. I'd kill myself." Or basically just serves up some suicide on the event that he can't beat young Mike Hawk. Well, he's not Mike Hawk yet, but he will be. So this scene, I mean, that line alone, "Kid, if I can't beat you, I'll kill myself." Is it "I'll kill myself" or "I'd kill myself"?
"Kid, if I couldn't beat you, I'd kill myself."
How has that not been lifted as like a soundbite in hit songs?
I don't know.
Like a Swedish death metal song.
Yeah, that shit needs to be sampled till the end of time. That is one of the greatest lines written by Bukharak or whoever the fuck wrote it.
Engelbach.
Lines? I've got a good line here. "I once encountered an arm wrestler outside of the circus, and he said he would beat me or he'd kill himself. Well, guess who's still alive?" Yeah, I think Billy Barb probably did write that line. I'm not surprised. But just the threat of this ginger to be like, if I couldn't beat you, I'd kill myself. Do I look that weak? Yes. Do I look like that big of a pussy? Absolutely. Do I look that hateable and easily dominated? Of course.
Was he like the 80s version of the Christmas Story bully?
I think so. I mean, in Mike's breath smelled of tuna, so you know it's the least intimidating smell you could ever have. Not brute, by God, not right. Brute.
Splashed some brute on, he'd scare the piss out of the kid. But the whole situation, it's too intense for Mike, and he loses the first one, drops the first fall, runs out. He's humiliated. He is, I think we've lost PL again. But he's humiliated. He thinks Lincoln just wanted to embarrass him and make him a loser like he is.
It's an interesting concept that maybe that was what he was going for, even though we both know that it wasn't. But you know, when you think about the booking of it, Mike dropping the first fall makes the most sense. You really got to build this up.
You got it. You put the baby face at a disadvantage and make him climb uphill, because then the eventual victory is all the sweeter.
Everybody wants to see my cock grow. And
no,
the best way to do that is to step on it, smash it down. House of Wangs, folks. House of Wangs on Indiegogo.
You won't find that, but you will find House of Fangs, which I do encourage people to actually participate in. This is where we get the world meets nobody halfway pep talk. Mike comes back now with his game face on. He flips his own switch.
He's pissed.
He is. And he beats Richie over the top style. They're now tied up. Mike wins the deciding fall. Credits much of that to good genetics. And, now he's all on board. And goes and calls his mom again. And he is just on cloud nine, bragging about that he drove the truck, that he arm wrestling, and was huge, and he beat him. And then once he puts Lincoln on the phone, he waits outside. Christina tells Lincoln, whatever happens, he needs to stay with Mike. Obviously, she's facing her mortality. She knows this is a very, risky surgery she's about to have.
Right.
And so whatever happens, you need to stay with Mike and try to work things out with my father. And just as she says that, some of the goons hired by her father just straight up abduct Mike in broad daylight.
Yeah, it's a bold strategy.
And even bolder is Lincoln's response, because he could have very well killed everybody in the car that he was chasing, including his own son.
Yeah, he's not fucking around. And when you've got I don't know how many tons of machinery under you, and he's driving like a bat out of hell.
Yeah.
He could easily have murdered, half a dozen people on that roadway, including my cock.
Yeah.
But he catches him and beats the shit out of these guys, and they run off, and we kind of have this reunion between him and Mike. And at this point it's like, okay, Cutler will do anything to get his grandson back.
His graduation.
Except to go, yeah. But when now he's starting to realize that, he's slowly slipping away. And I don't know if I can just assume that Cutler's got some like spies or some shit that's watching this shit go down, and he's reporting back that, maybe they're getting along or what have you. But the fact that Mike wants his dad to come after him, and he's not just, knowingly walking off with these goons.
Right.
It just tells you that, that the two of them are starting to get along, and it's probably the worst thing for Cutler to see.
Right. And yeah. And Hawk lets him know, hey, let Cutler know Mike is staying with me, because he just promised his wife that that's what was going to happen. He's back.
I missed.
I went into this long spiel about that ginger Bobby Budnick winning the first round. I went into this like 10-minute spiel, and then I realized it was all for nothing, because I was like, why aren't they? They're really being great listeners.
We're letting you go, man.
Yeah, I was cut off. It brutal. So
the part that I missed the most is hearing you talk about Richie the Ginger's friends and how they berated him afterwards.
Oh yeah, they let him have it. He probably killed himself anyways, just off of their ridicule. Bullying's no joke. So, yeah, I thought that kid was great. Great scene. So you're at the point now, are we past mom's passing and...
No, we're just at where Mike got abducted.
On the phone. Yes,
yeah, Mike got abducted. They've reunited after a risky move by everyone involved.
That's right.
And now we cut to Cutler with his lawyer, and the lawyer's like, listen, there's no way a judge is going to grant you custody. Cutler wants him to find a loophole, because that's what lawyers do.
That's right.
Father and son bonding. We get Lincoln telling Mike about his dream of starting his own company. And here we go. The big question. Why did you leave us? And the answer is reasons.
Yeah, he doesn't say, does he?
He said, no. I had my reasons. I admit it was a mistake. And that's it. That's all we get out of him.
You know, what would that have done for the film if he really broke down the reasons? Like, would that have dragged it? Did they shoot that maybe and just not show it? I mean, I think it keeps the picture going. And
Menachem Golan liked to keep his movies short, although he would be the one that would break that rule with, like, Delta Force. But usually...
We don't always have the reason. That's the reason. We don't always have the reason or where to explain it. And we just need our young Mike Hawks of the world to understand that we don't always have the reason. We don't always have the answer. And when you can understand that, then you are meeting me halfway.
You know, I feel like if we had a reason, it could potentially make you feel less positive about Lincoln.
Yeah.
And that's a bad thing. So by having no reason...
Yeah, it's like, why didn't they all just leave?
Maybe if he was like, well, your father-in-law is a real fucking asshole, and he was getting all over my shit, and he was doing this, doing that, so I had to leave. Now he's like a coward. Now he's just like a deadbeat dad coward.
Right.
But by having no reason at all, if he was like, well, I was banging this Mexican chick, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like if he had...
Then he's a bad guy.
Then he's a bad guy. So he's just like, I have my reasons, and it was a terrible mistake, and I shouldn't have done it.
And the thing is, the other thing is, he's a freaking truck driver. How often was he going to be home anyway?
Right. And I mean, how can he not see that he was basically working for him in a way? It's not like he was banging lot lizards or Mexican hookers or whatever. Like, you know, he's just. Yeah, I mean, he's got a past that is in question, but I don't think Lincoln gives us any reason throughout this film to question his morals. And he's a good guy. He may not be perfect, but he's a good guy. And if you want to try and replace him with a midget in a monkey suit as a babysitter and a co-star, good luck, Menachem. Good luck. Well, you're just going bananas if that's what you're thinking.
Thank you. Beautiful.
Well done.
The two get to the hospital, and as Pio pointed out, a hospital he's quite familiar with.
All of you,
but it's too late. She did not survive the surgery. Mike is obviously upset, and then we realize, you know, if we weren't driving around in that stupid truck, I would have been able to see my mom one more time.
Do you know how fast a limo is? Do you?
Hadn't delivered all that wonderful brute.
Right. Yeah. They didn't make that brute stop. They may have made it.
Fucking Irish.
Is brute Irish?
It's green, I guess.
Irish Spring. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know.
So
I'm Scottish.
So that happens. He's upset, and all that, you know, they just had built up this relationship, and it all comes crumbling down, just in that one moment. Mr. Late to the party again. Lincoln shows up late to Christina's funeral and excuses himself almost immediately.
Yeah.
And you see Mike obviously taking it hard. As anyone would, you definitely could feel for Mike, even though he's been a pain in the ass for a good chunk of the movie.
I mean, at the end of the day, how old is he in this movie? 9, 10, 8?
I think
12, maybe?
I think he's...
I mean, so he's between 5 and 15. We need to... I guess we have to keep that in perspective somewhat, but he's still a little piece of shit.
Here we see Lincoln pondering his next move. And then he shows up at the front gate of the Cutler Estate, where Collins greets him, and played by Alan Graff, who did tons of stunt work, a lot of second unit work as a director. He was in Nowhere to Run, Universal Soldier, RoboCop.
Nice.
He sends
Alan Graff.
Alan Graff, yes.
Nice.
Sends him away and tells him, you know, he's going to call the police if he doesn't go. So what does our hero do? Well, he backs up the truck and then guns it and just rips right through the gate and right through the frickin' front door of the mansion.
Then
calls out, "Hey, Mike!" Yeah, we heard you, bud.
He destroys the fountain, too, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He does.
Now, for those of you who have not been through the Pacific Palisades, these are narrow roads. They're not super narrow, but they're not very wide either. And you don't actually get a good look at any one mansion or house in the Pacific Palisades because they're off the street with these big, long driveways and these gated enclosures. And so, you know, you will occasionally see these driveways that you look like you could go up onto the street and get some speed building up. And that's exactly what Lincoln did here. You know, just the fact that he could get his 18-wheeler through the streets of Pacific Palisades is quite the feat in itself, much less where did he turn around in order to face the Color Estate. But it's neither here nor there. He burst through the Color Estate. He destroyed that gate as only he can when he goes over the top. Destroyed that fountain, which is completely useless. Unless old man Color is out there himself tanning his disgusting old bald body. No. Rooker is obviously the one tanning out there in the front garden. So he has even more reason to be pissed here. That fountain gets destroyed. The front door gets destroyed. The front door is probably worth more than Smasher's whole life. And so...
Poor Smasher.
Yeah, but he sucks. And he's not a good racquetball player either. He's got the motocross boots. That's what tipped me off initially. But yeah, smashes through. Pacific Palisades. What is up? I'm the real Fresh Prince of this biatch. What up? Where's my son? Give him to me now.
Right. And this is where we now get to see Robert Loggia in his natural habitat, just being fucking enraged.
Yelling at people. Dude, I want him to... I wish I could go back in time and have him fire me from something.
Yeah.
Right.
That would be good.
For not.
I'd just be high like, yeah, keep going.
And then have a heart attack while he's in the middle of it.
Like a real one?
Yeah, the character.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Like, he was just about to tell me his undying secret, but now he's dying.
He's dead. Okay, yeah.
Sad. Yeah, this is a huge heel moment. Was he not in the Sesame Street movie or something? I don't know why I keep mixing him in with Sesame Street characters. I know he reminds me of the old couple on the balcony, but...
Mm-hmm.
That's the Muppets.
Muppets! Muppets, of course. That's what I was thinking of. It's all some Jim Henson stuff.
Yep.
Was he not? He was in the Muppets movie, wasn't he?
He may have been. There's quite a collection of people in those Muppet movies.
That's true, but it doesn't really matter. I mean, he's the heel in this scene. He lets it be known, you are finished. Truck driving, Walmart perusing, white trash, sack of shit. You're going to prison.
Yeah.
And that's exactly where my young Lincoln ends up. He's probably in his 30s.
Yeah, he is. But much younger than he is right now. Rooker does come in, subdues Hawk until the cops show up. Hawk? You cannot drive your car or truck through a person's front door. You will get arrested. Just a public service announcement there. Mike is up on the balcony looking down, crying because he sees cops loading his dad in the back of the police car. He's had a rough go the past few days.
Yeah.
And that's when Hawk, he is in jail, and he gets a visitor, and it's none other than Tim.
Tim, Cutler's the pesky personal, lawyer.
Personal secretary.
Personal secretary, little bastard.
And he's got a deal for Hawk.
Stinks already.
If he leaves the state and doesn't contest the custody of Mike, they won't prosecute him for destroying the property. Lincoln's like, well, what does Mike want me to do? Well, why don't you ask him yourself? And we get Mike there.
Offer him some cash?
That's later.
Okay. Sorry.
I mean, it's a pretty good deal. Can we talk? That's a good deal. Like,
yeah.
We're not going to keep you in prison for driving your truck through our mansion.
Right.
And nearly killing people.
Right.
Because that's some time. You know, that's doing time.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's true.
Even in 1987, I think you're doing some time there.
Oh, yeah. In those prisons back then, you're getting AIDS for sure.
No doubt. No doubt. So you mean like a personal secretary, right? Aide?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, just like Tim.
Make some sandwiches.
Mike feels, you know, he's at home there. He's comfortable there. Well, obviously, he's living in a mansion. What are you going to offer me? Well, all I can offer you is togetherness. And, you know,
love
Lincoln.
Young Mikey.
You know, and he hasn't had that. So it's like he probably doesn't feel like he's missing anything. He doesn't know what it is. Yeah, he doesn't know what it is. So he doesn't know what love is. Lincoln messed up. You know, he wants to make things right. But, you know, if Mike can't do it, then I guess he takes the deal. You could see Lincoln's soul just crushed. But he understands. And again, the world meets nobody halfway. Now he may as well go to Vegas and do what he was planning on doing.
Banging whores.
That's later. Great soundtrack. Sorry, we've talked about it briefly. I'll just point this out right now. Stallone blames the soundtrack for one of the reasons he thinks that the movie did not do well at the box office.
Yeah, I don't.
Which is insane.
I don't.
The music's a character all in itself. It's part of the reason the movie is so great.
Yeah.
I think the biggest problem with this,
I don't like him badmouthing this movie. But it's like, it's not his. It's not his baby. So, you know, like, he was a big part of Rocky. He was a big part of Rambo.
Budget for his own paycheck.
Right. That's the biggest problem, I think, is he got so much money and the movie did poorly that, I mean, you put a Kenny Loggins song in a Stallone movie, it should have been a massive hit.
Yeah.
And also, what's his face?
Sammy Hagar,
man. Yeah. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I think what the budget was projected at $25 million. Stallone's cut was like $15 million.
It's a nice chunk.
I mean, I think that's roughly what we're looking at here.
That's a lot of brute.
So a $25 million budget technically is $10 million. This movie's fucking awesome. They did the best they could. I don't want to hear it.
It's the best arm wrestling movie I've ever seen.
Easily. I still am pondering that dream.
So, back at the mansion, Mike is now going through his mom's stuff, and that's where he finds these letters that why she kept them from him. No one will ever know. Lincoln, meanwhile, sells his truck.
Heel turn.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Sells his truck, keeps the Hawk hood ornament.
How did he sell his truck for $7,000? He just drove it through a building.
Hey, they made trucks to last back then.
I mean, yeah.
You could drive them through a freaking building and barely had a scratch on it.
It's Peterbilt, son.
Hell yeah.
He keeps the Hawk hood ornament, then takes that $7,000 and bets on himself. He's got 20-1 odds, and the guy at the window is like, that's what I call gambling.
Good for him.
And I think this is one of those scenes where we get both the Hawk and Hawk's name used simultaneously.
Yes, nice. We do. I was very confused. Over the last 30 years, I still don't know what his last name is. Hawks or Hawk?
I think it's Hawk, but I did keep a running tally, and I think it's dead even.
Yeah.
How it was used. Like, it was
Hawk to Hawks?
Like 12-12, I think, was the final count.
Fucking Menachem doesn't know plural.
So like Pat Patterson was just pluralizing things that didn't need The hype begins for the tournament, and I would like to note, if everyone's listening, this is a double elimination tournament. That means you have to lose two times.
Which is ironically the same situation young Mike Cock found himself in at the diner against the ginger.
Yeah.
Nobody wants.
Yeah, you're right. The tournament montage with the Sammy Hagar song, Winner Takes It All. That song, which Canon... Canon used that for their Cannes Film Festival, like, hype, their sizzle reel that they did, where they're like, we're Canon, and we're dynamite.
Fuck yeah.
You better believe they are. And Chuck Norris, the scene of Chuck Norris popping out of the water, it, like, kicks off that video.
How are they not around anymore? It just doesn't make any sense.
Because the world is cruel. And it doesn't meet anybody halfway.
Yeah. Mm.
I would say poor financial decisions, if we're being accurate.
Yeah, I guess.
Given Sylvester Stallone $15 million for a movie just to get him, and then that movie does not make that. And doing that the same year you also decide to do Superman 4 and Masters of the Universe.
And Spider-Man.
And be putting money in for other things that you haven't even started. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's the case. But
I think ambitious Israelis,
indeed. So Michael, at this point now, commits Grand Theft Auto, takes the Toyota 4Runner from the garage, and makes his way to the airport because he now knows the truth. His dad did send him birthday cards and letters and wanted to be a part of his life. His grandfather was a lying bastard, and his mom, for whatever reason, kept him in an old purse in a drawer.
That's right. I'm going to go piss on her grave.
maybe when he gets back. We get down to the semifinals. That's 8 people remaining. And remember, it is double elimination. Mike lands in Vegas. Cutler's goons are already there. They obviously flew private. And I like the interviews they do, PL, with
the combatants.
I mean, that's a nice gimmick. And it, you know, gives you that it gives you that personality profile of each of these guys.
It's real. You're telling me.
Okay.
We can flip on ESPN today and see some poker bullshit.
Yeah.
Even some bowling nonsense, darts. These aren't darts. These aren't sports. These are games.
Yeah.
These are not sports. You don't see anybody in the gym training for golf. If you do, nerd. You don't see anybody training for cards at the gym. Get fucked. No. But you will see Oil Can Harry.
Yeah.
And Blaster. And Manipulator. And Hot Rodder. And Blaster. And Jizzer. And Spizzer. And all these
sports
guys.
Sports cream guy.
Sports cream guy. You'll see all these guys at the gym trying to get their guns.
Yeah,
this is the cocaine 80s, baby, and like you win or you lose, man. There ain't no in between. You can lose.
Pretty sure there was a.
I mean, you're done, but yeah.
Pretty sure there was a jizzer in there somewhere.
I thought so. Because we see Lincoln take one terrible loss.
Yeah, to Grizzly, I believe he was the Canadian champion.
That's right.
Oh, that's brutal, brutal.
Oh yeah.
But you got to remember, guys, he does lose, but this is a double elimination tournament.
What?
Right. Just like me, just like Mike earlier in the movie.
It's mirror images. Rooker shows up, delivers a message to Cutler that Cutler would like to speak to him in the presidential suite. And then he goes up there. Cutler tells Hawk, "We don't have to be enemies." And he's like, all he has is Michael. Hawk never had anything. Hey, but look what I got for you, bud. I got a new top-of-the-line rig and $500,000 for you to get the hell out of here, start a new life, make your own family. Ooh. And Hawk's like, you know what? When this is over, I'm coming back for Mike. And he doesn't care. He's going back on his word. Rooker tries to stop him, and then we get the classic scene of Rooker getting thrown through the French doors.
What's the line here? He's like, "Mr. Cutler is not done talking with you," or somewhere.
Yeah.
"Well, I'm done," or something. He like punches him.
Yeah.
Through the glass.
Right through the doors.
It's too bad Tim wasn't like behind him. Yeah. Like cowering in fear.
Yeah. Oh. And some of the glass like slit his throat.
Tim's locked away wearing a gimp mask. With an anal plug from a gas tank, from an oil tank up in Grizzly's hotel room over at the Tropicana.
Like, Jizzer's there.
Yeah, Jizzer's in the corner beating it. He's already lost twice. Come on.
Yeah, because in case you missed it, this is a double elimination tournament, and now we get to see some Moto Royal drinking, and now we get the Marauder song, The Fight, which you
okay, were can on. I ask real quick, where in this movie
yeah.
is Texas strongman, badass, legendary Japanese-American Gaijin wrestler?
Scott Flash Norton.
Scott Flash Norton. He's in this somewhere.
He's in there. He's briefly in one of like the little montages. You see him. Yep.
Okay. In Victory, I think. We see
former bodyguard for Prince, I believe.
I mean, just a fortress door of a human being, you know?
Trained by Vern Gagne to become a professional wrestler.
Insane.
And so this is all...
Event. Oh, wait, sorry. So we're talking about the testimonials, too, and, like, we see the prize. We see the prize itself, right?
The truck. This is like the tournament for Lincoln to be in. I mean, the truck, the money.
Yeah.
Well, he comes out of the trucker division, right?
That's right.
He's not a professional arm wrestler. He's a goddamn trucker, and he fights his way through that division.
Right. He doesn't need to be wasting his time with these karaoke tournaments or these, you know, win a cheese fondue set.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't need. He saves himself for the big tournament, the big deal.
Yeah.
In Vegas, where it all goes down
at the Hilton, the
big truck at the Hilton for $10,000 or whatever they give him as well.
I think it's more than that, but yeah,
I think it is too. Yeah, it's probably like 20.
Perhaps $100,000.
Maybe $100,000.
So Mike gets there just before the semifinals start up. Bull Hurley versus Carl Adams. Harry Bosco versus Lincoln Hawk. These are our big last final four.
Is this one of the first times we see Lincoln actually confess on what goes through him?
Yeah.
Have we caught wind of this earlier in the film?
Yet.
I don't think we have, but like this is where we really see what he does to shift into next gear and when he turns that hat around. It's like flipping the switch and he's the machine.
He's like a truck, man.
He's like a truck. It's
like this truck.
It's complete symbiosis.
Well, he beats Harry Bosco. Bull wins his matchup. And the finals that were telegraphed early on at the diner and in all the promotional material for the film, we get Hawk versus Bull in the finals. Go figure.
Bull Hurley.
Mike then gets to his dad. It's like, hey, I want to be with you. And now the tables have turned, and it's Mike giving his dad the nobody meets you halfway pep talk. And you got to believe.
Remember, Dad, when my spirit was molested by a ginger in a cafe?
Yeah.
And I happened to defeat him. I let my spirit get up and kick him in his little fiery Cheeto nuts. And defeat that little bastard. Now he's actually killed himself, Dad. I bet you didn't know that, but I checked
in. He's totally dead.
And he killed himself because his friends made fun of me. And basically because he couldn't beat me. And believe it or not, as much of a piece of shit white trash as that kid was, he was a man of his word. And he did kill himself because he could not beat me. So I want you to make Bull Hurley kill himself.
Wow.
That's what I want you to go out there and do, Dad. He said all that in subtext.
This is a darker version of the movie.
I've got a very serious question, though. We finally made it to the finals. It's been a long journey to get here. Injuries and multiple deals that were offered that he should have taken that he didn't. People have died by suicide and botched heart transplants. I think it was a tit job myself. Botched tit job.
Yeah.
But is it still double elimination?
I'm guessing that the turns.
That's a great question.
The finals must not. The finals must be sudden death because otherwise. They don't point that out, though, because.
No, they don't. They goddamn better.
So will we get a sequel? Bull Hurley's Revenge.
And he wants a rematch, man.
Yeah.
He's got a clause. Rematch clause.
And maybe that was the master plan by Menachem. Like,
maybe
Let's leave that open so we could come back with this because I know this is going to be a huge movie for Canon. People love Stallone. People love Kenny Loggins. We've got arm wrestling figures in the stores. This thing is going to be huge.
Yes.
It's going to be our Star Wars. It's going to be our
Rocky. Who all did they make a figure of? They made Lincoln. They made Bull Hurley.
Bull Hurley.
Was
they made Jizzer.
I feel like they made a Jizzer. I feel like they made a Grizzly and a Mike. I don't know why. I don't think they made a Mike.
They did not make
a Mike. I feel like they made a Mr. Cutler.
They did not. No.
I'm pretty sure they made a dead mom.
Tim. No,
they did not make Tim.
I remember having Tim, actually. That one was good. It came with, like, the cell glass, like, where he's, like, on one side, and you put Lincoln on the other side, and, like, they have a phone that connects in the wall.
It's a stool.
It's a stool. Jizzer also has the stool. Smasher comes with the motocross. Mike comes with a monkey. It's pretty good toy set, actually. It rivaled the Karate Kid toy set.
Yeah.
I felt. Same style.
Yeah.
It's a good thing we're not doing video here, because laughing nonstop.
Did you drool over yourself, Chad?
It's been bad. I've been laughing a lot.
It's not video. Jizzer would be making a comeback. He would have already come back, like, several times.
I've heard Jizzer's come on some backs. But listen.
Oh, he's there.
We've got the finals now. It's the five-time champ versus the underdog. This is where we get the promo where he talks about flipping the switch. Mike's coaching from the sidelines. Bull is trash-talking to psych Hawk out. And the arms come apart the first time. So now, we got to bring in the strap.
Hell yeah.
Strap man.
So... They gimmick up this finals as you would assume they might have to. Jason now gets to Michael, but he's like, "All right, we're going home as soon as this is over." The crowd, I did not know arm wrestling was as popular as it was until I watched this movie, because they are in a freaking frenzy.
Who the hell's Jason?
Jason Cutler is
Cutler.
The grandfather.
Oh, that old bastard! I didn't think they let him in this joint. I forgot.
He's up at the you're out of control.
Oh, that's right. No, he's in his presidential
penthouse.
Suite.
He's in the whatever.
He's the president of the Arm Wrestling Association. The fix is in. But that doesn't matter. Because Lincoln fights and fights, and he flips the switch. And Bull Hurley's bringing all his bullshit. And he's just crazy. And he's hurling it up. And it's just, you think it's over. The strap is connected. There's no out of this. You win or lose. Winner takes all. Loser takes the fall.
And to emphasize it, it's all done in slow-mo.
Slow-mo!
For the big comeback.
Ah.
Lincoln victorious in this country starts playing again. I did note that double elimination must not apply in the finals. Again, no. Not pointed out. Again, I think Menachem was leaving the door open for a sequel.
Hurley's revenge.
Mike celebrates with Hawk. Cutler's like, oh, he's way too happy. I'm done. And he accepts his defeat finally. And then we get the little chat between father and son where Mike's like, you know, now you could start your own company like you dreamed of. And we could call it Son and Hawk.
Yeah.
Stupidest name ever.
Yeah.
It's a horrible name.
Horrible name, but they settle on Hawk and Son. Which is obviously stolen from Sanford and Son. We now cue the Take It Higher by Mr. Larry Green and the end credits roll.
Take it higher.
And yeah, what a peppy way.
I would have named the company Mike Hawk's Rig Riders.
Yeah, Rig Riders. Yeah. I would have named it
popular.
Mike Hawk's Son.
Okay. That's a good one. So, PL, if you can, please, your final thoughts on Over the Top.
Over the Top will forever have a special place in my life, because this is one of the most recent films that up to, I would say, just over a year ago, I was able to share with my mother and convince her that it was based on a true story. And she still to this day thinks it's a true story, and it's became it's and she normally would not like Stallone. She thought, you know, he has a rubber face, and she'd always like make his voice and like do like his mouth and stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, Mom, you need to like really like you need to turn this attention and heat towards Seagal. Like that's the target here. Stallone's an icon. He's a hero to gazillions. You just haven't seen the right Stallone project. Yes. And so, you know, mega blockbuster action star. Cliffhanger is one of my personal favorite films, personally. But there's just an endless filmography of Stallone classics. Rocky notwithstanding. Rambo notwithstanding. But it's over the top. That truly lets us see Stallone in a different light, and I'm willing to say that this is, if not his most heartfelt movie, it's certainly, I would even go as far as to say his most family friendly movie. There's little to no cussing in this movie. There's no nudity. It's a father-son setup, which is a dynamic that doesn't get enough attention or praise or, you know, care that it should. And so I easily put this in my top five Stallone films of all time. It possibly could even be top three. Which is absurd because you're sitting here thinking like canon, this movie bombed. It's silly. It's about arm wrestling, like whatever. It's so much more than that. It's so much more than that. And it's a timepiece for the mid to late 80s and Americana and what it was to be macho and what it is to be macho and what it is to be a man. And, cocaine like really fueled a lot of these guys, especially if you look at Grizzly. I mean, Grizzly drinks car engine oil and eats the can. Eats the can.
Was it Castrol?
Yeah. Okay. So like show me where these guys exist nowadays. Yeah. You know, so like this is a visual masterpiece. It's definitely a visual museum of a lost era, and it stands up, it holds up, and I would highly recommend anyone who hasn't seen this movie to pleasure themselves watching it because it's that good. It's that good. And it stands the test of time, both musically, visually, story, perform, everything. It's Menachem's best film, and it's Cannon's true underdog film and champion. Thank you.
Thank you. Chad, do you even want to attempt to follow that up? Or
I mean, I'm just going to follow up on a couple things PL said. You know, one of them being the idea that this story, it's about more than arm wrestling. It's about more than a guy in a truck, a semi truck, and a competition. It's about a relationship between a father and a son. And this is why the movie has meant so much to me over the years, because, you know, I watched this movie with my father. I watched it with my older brother, and we absolutely adored this movie, you know, 35 years ago, whatever, however long it's been out, and obsessed over this movie and watched it so many times and repeated the lines over and over again and sang the songs and had the cassette tape soundtrack and all that shit. And now I get the opportunity to do that with my son and being able to ask him and say, you know, what did you think of the film? And he was just like, it was awesome. And feeling that euphoria of just like, ah, you know, I'm doing a good job so far at this point, in raising this kid right. So Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those movies that's magical. It's an adventure every time I watch it because I love it so much. And I'm biased for it, but it'll always be among my favorite kind of like, you know, just like a comfort films.
Yeah.
So, let me ask you, Chad, what military school are you sending your son to?
Somewhere in Switzerland, probably. Oh,
it's nice. Okay. Great.
Well, they train with halberds.
Oh, love it. Yeah. Make him a falconer. He'll be set.
Oh, dude, just fucking send that bird out.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
I love it.
All right. Well, yeah.
That was great. No, I love that. I love that. I love that you share that with your son. And to you, Brain.
Yes.
Please. Final thoughts.
My final thought, you know, over the top. Sometimes we do shows on movies here, and I'm like, I'll watch them for the purposes of the show, and I think, God, this was not as good as I remember. We're over the top. Every time I rewatch this movie, I enjoy it more and more and more. And even though it has flaws, we pointed some of them out. I probably pointed all of them out, but I love it. It's just a great movie. It's like, you know, you said it, you know, it's a family friendly canon movie. Stallone's probably his most family friendly movie. And, I'd watch it right now again, if y'all want to hang out for 90 minutes and watch it with me. But
I'd love to,
you know, it's just great. And yeah, you know, the soundtrack is constantly in my rotation, and it probably always will be. So, wonderful movie for our 100th episode. A milestone has been achieved, and thank you, Mr. Paul London, for joining us. We wanted something special for this, and you certainly gave it to us.
No, thank you guys for hanging out and let.
And is he gone?
God,
just like that, just like that.
You know,
no, I'm back.
Thank goodness.
Okay, I was off the screen for too long. No, thank you guys for letting me. I teased your Hawks, and thank you guys for letting me come and share my love for this film. It's a overlooked classic, and it should be enjoyed. I don't think it takes place near any holidays, but I think this is the ultimate. This is the perfect.
Be a good Father's Day.
Father's Day film. Hell, even a good Mother's Day movie. I think depending on your relationship with your mom. But yeah, I think it's a great film. It should be enjoyed pretty much at any holiday. And I'm just so thankful that you guys let me come and share my love for this canon, Menachem Golan, Yoram Globus classic. Arnold wanted to be a part of this, but he was too big. Sylvester Stallone, he's the real money bags. We need to give him $15 million out of a $25 million budget.
Would you say that this movie is the Sally Two Shoes of canon films? Just always leaves you pleasured and.
Oh yeah, rest in peace, Sally Two Shoes. Yeah, she was quite the loud lizard. She made her way up around New Mexico, Arizona territory. I would say this. It would bother me to think of anybody not enjoying this film, and I would be curious as to why. And I'd be willing to bet that those are outside reasons that have nothing to do with what you see on screen here, what you hear, because this movie is about as perfect as cinema can be, and I think it'll stand the test of time forever.
Amen.
Has it been on Blu-ray? I'm not too
sure. Yes, sir. Okay. I own it.
And with features and whatnot?
I don't believe it had any special features, no, unfortunately.
You know, but in a way, that's...
It helps
adds
keep
to that. Yeah, that mystery. It really does, you know? Like, it doesn't need to be dissected. You know, it really allows us to dissect it as we want and as we wish and as we do.
And as we did.
I think that's the reason it holds such a special place in each of our hearts. Chad, I love that you're sharing this with your son. It's just such a... Where else are you going to get that outside of Indiana Jones 3?
Right.
You know?
So. You get to you get a lot of moments, you know, as a father. And this is a moment I've been waiting for a few years where I'm like, I can't wait to watch Over the Top with my son. So was this gave me a good opportunity.
Does this mean am I supposed to hate you at some point?
No, we actually spent quite a bit of time after that talking about the logistics of the Over the Top move.
Oh,
which
genius.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Genius. I love it. So your son enjoyed it. I'm happy to hear
he loved it. Yeah, he enjoyed it a lot.
Well, I hope he keeps the tradition going, Chad. I hope this movie never fades away.
And he's a massive Kenny Loggins fan, by the way.
Oh, he's great. Does he have a favorite?
I've got these playlists of all these action songs and stuff. And we'll play games as we're driving. I'll say, you know, who do you think will come on next? And I'll say, Kenny Loggins. Okay. So Danger Zone is his favorite Kenny Loggins song for sure.
Oh,
but nice. it's hard to beat that for a 9-year-old, but meet me halfway. My God. It's so good.
It's perfect. It's a perfect song. Perfect song. Danger Zone was my Japanese entrance music when I first went to Japan.
Oh shit.
Yeah. Courtesy of 01. It's one of those Hashimoto classics where it's like, I think you use Danger Zone. I'm very American. yeah, I imagine you listen to the soundtrack fairly often as well, right, Brain?
Absolutely.
Steady rotation.
It's in my YouTube list, and yeah, I will. I was actually listening to it right before we started recording tonight to get me in the mood. Not that I needed it, but a little extra never hurt.
Did you get a pump in though when you're listening to it?
Listen, that's personal information.
Oh.
Kid, if I couldn't pump you, I'd kill myself. So, yeah, good stuff. Thank you, guys. This is really awesome. I hope to have some extra bit of time, and I got some shows coming up. September 15th, I'll be back in Cleveland.
Oh, more? And, yeah, you'll be in Cincinnati as well.
The week after. That's right. So you're going to get your double dose.
Two weekends in a row, CL. Oh, that's gonna
right.
Be something.
The double deuce. That's right. You're going to watch out for it. And, you know, hell, I might just stay the whole goddamn week.
Oh.
It won't happen. Probably.
Don't tease us.
Yeah.
Don't tease us anymore.
Yeah, because you're in those parts too, ain't you, Chad?
I am. I'm an hour north of Cincinnati.
Woo!
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm. I like it a lot. Get a little steak and shake or Hightower chili or what's it called?
Skyline. Hightower.
Pure diarrhea right there, buddy.
Hightower diarrhea.
Diarrhea?
Hightower? Hightower. No, you guys are great.
Isn't he from Police Academy?
Rest in peace. Yes, I got it, pal. You like how I just say rest in peace? I just assume he's dead.
I don't think he is.
It's a good guess.
Somebody else never, in the movie is, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Police Academy? this is great. You guys are fun. As always, I'm really thankful for your time. And I'm just really honored we got to do this. And I'll just leave it with this one little tidbit. If you see it get used on TV, you'll know that they stole it from this. But there's no secret. I think today's professional wrestling is crap. However, I've always had this idea that if AEW was on drugs and willing to hire me and let me be a consultant, manager, image maker for Brian Cage, I would personally market Brian Cage as an arm wrestling champion, and I would push him very much like a Bull Hurley in this scenario and get him away from the groups and get him away from the panties that he wears that makes him look stupid. Like, this guy should be in jeans and cutoffs, and he should look like a hillbilly fucking bulldozer. And you actually have him going out on television every week doing an arm wrestling challenge. That's how you get this guy over.
correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's how you get this guy over. You play up his strengths and his size, but as an arm wrestling champion, and you make it a legit thing, similar to Brawl for All. And I think it could really do something for a professional wrestling television program that would lend itself endless amounts of credibility to these guys being legit strongmen and badasses. Now, if they aren't that in real life, then the whole thing's bullshit and doesn't matter. But I would like to see a Brian Cage type who looks like that kind of douchebag bad guy 80s henchman or whatever, put in a situation where you could highlight the things that he's good at and then make him different. And I think making him a Bull Harley type character would do wonders for him. Can't do any worse than he's already done, right? So right. I don't know what y'all's thoughts are on that, but I would have the arm wrestling thing up with like the pegs and like make it legit, and I would see what could be done with that.
Yeah, I think I want to say Bill Watts did something like that when he took over WCW. They had like
sounds an familiar. Arm
wrestling tournament. And you know, any chance to get to Scott Flat Snorton a cameo on the show?
Oh my God,
would it be a bad thing?
No, it'd be huge.
Well, obviously that company has, I don't know how many legitimate tough guys that are there, but there's probably not many. And when you have a guy that looks like that, and see, to me, like what makes a guy look like a fucking badass is when he wears normal clothes.
Exactly.
Tough.
Yes.
Like that dude he's like ripping through his clothes. Like those are normal jeans. I wear jeans.
Right.
I don't look like that. You know what I mean?
Jeans. Right.
Jeans?
Damn.
I want to see him in clothes.
That, right.
And just be a freakish man in clothes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm on board, man.
I think it would be interesting.
Can I come with you, by the way?
Yeah, please. Please. We need to have that arm wrestling referee who knows what the rules are. You know,
double elimination.
Not in this case. This would be sudden death
until the finals.
Until the finals. That's right. Yeah. And then they would have fucking Britt Baker beat him. So
probably Orange Cassidy.
Ah, oh. Denim useless. yeah. Enough of that, I guess. But that's always been kind of a creative thought for him in particular. Because Cage is a buddy of mine, but he's a lug at the same time. So, Bull Hurley, he is not.
Blaster.
He's more of a blast. He's more of a smasher, blaster, jizzer type. Now, you guys are wonderful. Thank you. If anyone wants to pay attention to any of my stupidity and nonsense, I'm on Instagram or Twitter at LondonFu, LondonFu. That's like the city, and that's like Kung Fu. LondonFu. That's all. That's it.
All right. Well, yeah, follow you, because you're taking bookings. You're out there. You're on the road.
I am. I'm heading to Tennessee tomorrow. I got Bristol, Tennessee all weekend. Show and seminar and songs and maybe some Robbie's ribs if I'm lucky, and we'll see what happens.
All right.
And well, then following week I'll be in New Jersey. Next month I'll be in Cleveland, Cincinnati, Compton. I hit up all the cool spots.
From coast to coast and border to border, Paul London in action. So pay attention to his Twitter again, LondonFu, or Instagram, also LondonFu. Thank you again, PL. I know you're a busy man. As you just said, you got a flight to catch tomorrow. And we want to thank you for being a part of this special 100th episode. Kenny Loggins said it best. This is it, people. 100. We've hit it. And Chad,
Did he say that?
Well, he said this is it.
He said all that.
He said all that other shit. Yeah.
No, hell of a quote. Hell of a quote.
Yeah. I added it. Yeah.
We'll paraphrasing.
We'll let you go, PL. But yeah, Kenny Loggins did say it best. This is it. I will now add in, this is it. And Chad, you and I will come back to wrap things up. PL, again, thank you.
Thank you, guys. We'll be back with
more of the Bulletproof Podcast right after this.
Chad, always a pleasure, buddy. Thank you.
Hey, the pleasure's mine. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys. Hey, talk soon.
You're always welcome.
Hey, likewise.
Yeah, we got to go bananas one of these days.
Oh, going bananas is the way to go. We got to do it.
Maybe for our April Fool's episode. All right, guys.
Yeah. You guys have fun. I'll talk soon. We'll see you guys soon.
All right, back here on the Bulletproof Podcast, Chris the Brain and Chad Cruz. Again, want to thank Paul London for joining us as things got out of control. As expected, Chad. I mean, we said he was going to be over the top. He certainly was.
Yeah, he was super over the top, and we love it, and we love him. He's always welcome back. I don't know if I drank too much rum, but I had a blast.
I didn't have any alcohol and I enjoyed myself. Yeah. So that's, good. I guess, a good sign. We do want to talk about bulletproofaction.com again. We are celebrating our 9th anniversary later this month. We talked about it at the top of the program. We're going to have a big countdown of the great new Image movies of the 90s and early 2000s. They really were the company that followed in the footsteps of Canon.
Right, right.
So, you know, they kind of carried on that tradition and built up enough juice, I guess, and power that they started making bigger movies with as Millennium. I mean, you got The Expendables, you got London Has Fallen and Olympus Has Fallen, and they resurrected Rambo. I mean, so, but without New Image kind of bridging that gap, you may not have had that. So definitely want to give them their props, and we will do so with some special guests on August 29th. So check that out. Paul London told you about his Twitter and Instagram, London Foo. You can also listen to him on his two podcasts, Territory Marks and Cinemarks. And I just got that news that he's going to be here in Cleveland again.
That's awesome.
But I already knew this one because it's Saturday night, September 23rd in Williamsburg, Ohio. That is in the Cincinnati area. At 7 p.m., it is the Battle in Burg 3 at Williamsburg High School. It's going to be Paul London and our old friend Aaron Williams teaming up to take on this team of Ron Mathis and Bruce Gray. And they're an excellent tag team, as much as may hate to say that. But they are excellent, and it'd be interesting for a team like that taking on the first-time team of London and Aaron Williams. We also will have EC3 versus Lord Crew. And at that point, EC3 may be the NWA heavyweight champion of the world.
That's right. Yeah. I've seen that online. I mean, this is, what an event really for that area, especially because, if you're going to put Paul London in the ring with anybody, you're going to put him in with Aaron Williams. He's essentially wrestled anybody and everybody on the indie circuit. And if there's somebody out there on the indie circuit who probably should be in a bigger place, it's Aaron Williams. And I don't want to overlook Ron Mathis and Bruce Gray because two, what I would consider friends in the wrestling industry, not two guys that I talk to often, but two guys that I respect greatly. And I guarantee they'll have a fun match.
They will. They're an excellent tag team. I may not agree with all their tactics, but they certainly are a great team, and I'm looking forward to seeing them. Yeah, you can see them as well. You could get your tickets at thebattleinburg.com. I'll be there as well, Chad Cruz, and I've been informed that I will be doing the commentary right then and there at the show as it's going down. So I am looking forward to that. I have not done commentary at ringside in over a decade, so I'm very excited about it. I'm wondering if I could get Mr. London to join me on a match and see how off the rails that could go. And hopefully maybe you could stop by depending on your schedule. We're obviously definitely would love to say that. I think I believe Ryan Campbell's planning on being there. So, you know, it's going to be a little HWA reunion for us.
I love it. I think it's a great idea.
All right. Well, again, another great idea would be for you guys to go to bulletproofaction.com. Follow us on social media. We're at Bulletproof Pod on Twitter and at Bulletproof Action on Instagram, Facebook, and Threads. Anything else you want to say on our 100th episode before we wrap it up?
Thanks for 100 episodes.
Absolutely. Can we do 100 more?
I hope not.
That's the spirit, Chad. That's the spirit. All right. Thank you, everybody. And obviously, you know, to get us to 100 episodes, all our special guests that we've had over these 100 episodes and everybody who's checked us out or just even spread the word about this program to people you might not like that much. Whatever reason you did it, we appreciate it. And as always, stay tuned for more of the Bulletproof Podcast.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.